Alrighty, welcome to Rated NA 34, the podcast for nerdappropriate.com. We are here on Saturday again, because we dig these Saturday recordings.
It's the hurricane-free edition of this podcast.
We're in Florida, so we actually narrowly missed the hurricane that's plowing up the East Coast right now.
Hurricane Irene.
Ash is at PAX in Seattle currently, so we have friend and frequent guest, sort of the show, Derek, with us.
Hello.
Is he sort of a frequent guest or sort of our friend?
Both.
Oh.
We'll see how this podcast goes. So Derek's with us today. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Sort of.
No more talking. Okay. What's going on? How was your week, Scott?
Let's see. What have I been doing? I finished some DLC for Borderlands. So I'm finally caught up. I think that game's 2 years old now. So I'm with you. I'm with everybody now. It was fun. I enjoyed playing the game. I played by myself, so all the loot that I got fucking sucked, and I'm kind of upset about that. But
we play a little bit.
Yeah, we did. We did play a little bit, but I feel like you really need to get into the larger games or get into your second playthrough before you really get anything of relative importance in that game, and that kind of bums me out.
Yeah,
I got some really good guns.
I feel like I played through that game and I was still waiting for that moment where the gun pops up and I'm like, this is the gun that I've been waiting, and that never happened. It kind of disappointed me. What else?
I should say really quick, we've got some tech news today.
Oh, yeah.
It's not tonight. We've got some tech news. We're going to talk about the game season that we're about to hit. We got some PAX news, minorly, and I'm going to pause really, dude.
It's got an itch. Just working it out.
He's rubbing his beard on the microphone.
There you go.
I think he was doing it without realizing at first.
Got a little itch on the face right there. The microphone is always so close to your mouth anyways. It would take less effort to get the hand to your mouth.
100% professional, sir.
That's where we rake in the big bucks.
If we're doing reviews of Deus Ex, or kind of a preview of Deus Ex slash beginning review. Wipeout for the Kinect, right? Did I say that correct?
Yes, sir.
And a new card game that we just played. Well, not new, but a relatively new card game we just played called Nightfall. And then we're going to talk about finishing video games. And then we actually put two Twitter questions out. We're getting those answers. So, that's what we're doing. Sorry to cut you off. I heard through the grapevine that people like it when we do previews of what the show is going to be about.
Oh, okay.
So that they can immediately tune out and then not listen for the rest of it.
Boring.
They're like, they're not talking about Mass Effect, and they're going to turn it off.
I'm going to go see what the Nerdist is doing.
So you finished Borderlands.
Yeah, I finished Borderlands. I did intend to start.
You have an itchy beard.
Yeah, I have an itchy beard. I intended to start playing Deus Ex, but the Borderlands rage to try to finish kind of overtook me. And,
are you going to tell the story about your rage quit? That you sent me.
Oh yeah, I was trying to get. There's an achievement for completing the General Knox or part of the General Knox DLC.
Yeah,
and one of the quests has you going into a vault, like a big like weapon stash,
right?
Like looting as much stuff as you can in 2.5 minutes and then getting out.
Okay.
And the first time I did it, I just wasn't ready, and I kind of I freaked out, and the timer was running down, and I thought I was gonna die, and I just got so mad that I was like, ah, and I just saved the game and turned it off. But then
was he with you? Was Derek?
No, I told him about it after.
Sent me a text message.
And after when you load back into the game, they put you in the vault. The timer is frozen, so you can loot all the chests.
Right.
But the punchline is
that I always loot all the chests.
Yeah. The punchline is that you leave the vault, and the achievement doesn't unlock. It never unlocks. So there's nothing you can do unless you go through a second playthrough to get that achievement for blowing up the vault.
You don't have a save from earlier.
Where do the saves go?
Oh, yeah, I guess you can't.
It's always one save game, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I forgot which game we were talking about.
Yeah. But that's that, and that's pretty much been my week, and I've been busy at work. How about you, Derek?
Yes, Derek.
Moving.
You live here now.
Yes.
We should say you live, the reason you are on the podcast is you now live literally a minute and a half from my house.
Yes. One mile away, I believe.
Is it actually 1 mile?
It's maybe a little over that.
Maybe, yeah.
Something like that.
Very close. Very close.
Moving, unpacking still, and then...
IKEA shopping.
Yes.
Moving is fun.
It can be.
No, it's not fun.
But you played Deus Ex for us this week. Not for us, literally, but you played Deus Ex.
I just had 3 days at home alone, so that's all I did.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
He played it twice.
To a specific point.
This is like the rage quit edition of the podcast.
It is. Yeah. Except my rage quitting is much more extreme than most people's.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to hear about that.
He's had seven TVs. I started over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like 20 hours into it.
Did you, let me ask you, I know we're going to talk about this later, but did you...
Let's talk about it now and later.
Did you start over?
Yes.
Or did you start over and delete your previous game?
I saved over it, so I deleted it.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, that's a pretty serious rage quit. Yeah.
I intended to play the same character, but I found some other things on my 1.5 playthrough. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. What's going on, man?
Not a lot. It's been a busy week. The podcast is running late, the one we recorded last week, because it was just been a busy week this week at work, so... I've been working a lot at home as well. And
you've been playing or watching anything? I know that you've been like killing old series on Netflix, like TV wise.
Yeah. I don't think I really, we finished, we're caught up as far as we can be caught up without cable on Eureka.
Weren't you watching the first 48 for a while? Is that?
Yes.
That
I've been watching a lot of the first 48.
Something that you've stuck with?
Which, I don't recommend and recommend at the same exact time.
I don't really know a lot about this.
It is equally the most terrifying and entertaining show.
Did you watch
the one where
the guy got shot in the butt?
No, not yet. That's pretty far in. The thing is, I've actually seen most of these before, but for some reason, Ash started watching it, and then I was like, oh, I did like that show, so I started watching it. But it, in my older age, has freaked me out way more than it used to freak me out. I have discovered that you should not deal drugs. That is a bad thing to do if you don't want to die. You shouldn't live in the ghetto in either Miami, Detroit, or which Detroit is there? I don't know if there's non-ghetto in Detroit, but Miami, Detroit, Kansas City, Phoenix,
Memphis, I think is one of the cities.
And Memphis, yeah, I think are like the big ones.
Yeah,
you don't live in the ghetto there for any reason.
Is that where all the episodes take place?
Yes.
You should also not screw with drug dealers.
Yep.
Even if you have not, you don't do drugs and you don't deal drugs. Just don't even mess with the drug dealers because they'll just kill you. They apparently don't care whatsoever. Especially don't mess with Mexican drug dealers because they just go right back to Mexico and never get caught.
Wow. These
are the things I've learned. You, they will brutally murder you and then be gone before the first 48
is
even over.
I think I'm sorry I brought this up.
let me think. What else have I learned? You shouldn't, there was one other big one that I told Melissa. I don't remember. Ooh, don't be or have sex with prostitutes either. That was the other one.
Is there a little bit more explanation
to
that?
Yeah, prostitutes get murdered constantly. And so do people who have sex with prostitutes. That's what I learned.
They get murdered?
This is what I learned. Yeah, they get murdered.
Okay.
By the prostitutes?
Wow.
I guess. You know, I don't know. It's really random. Sometimes it's a prostitute. Sometimes you had sex with a prostitute who had a bad drug deal go down, and then the drug dealer comes and shoots you. Generally, 9 times out of 10, it was a drug dealer that did the deed of murdering somebody else or somebody related to the drug dealer.
Fair enough.
So I feel like if you just don't deal with the drug thing, you should be okay.
Hmm.
Which, luckily, I quit meth a long time ago. So I'm not really that worried about it as much anymore. So I should be okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're safe.
I'm reading Game of Thrones too.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's the nerdy thing I'm doing, I guess. But yeah. It is the most painful book to get into ever created because there's about 1.2 million characters inside of it, and they introduce each one of them in great detail from chapter to chapter for the beginning of the
book. They're pretty long books, aren't they?
Oh God, they're ridiculously long. I didn't buy this for myself. I got it for my birthday, and I was like, it's like one of those books I didn't want to read, but if somebody gave it to me, I was like, you know, sure, I'll read it. So I started reading it, and it's an easy read. Like, you read it, it's not hard to read. It's not like slow or anything, but good God, there's just so many characters, and they're all fake names, which is probably my biggest issue with fantasy books is like, Elad met with Egad, who had Etod with Enod. And I'm like, really? Did you just get stuck on the letter E and you couldn't make up some other names?
That's how I feel about the other fantasy trilogy. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably just as bad.
It's like you're just eating like alphabet SpaghettiOs, and you're like, Edentog, perfect. Like that's what came out of the spoon.
Edentog. So yeah, I think that's all I'm really doing.
That's a pretty big spoon, actually, to get that many letters in the
cheese.
All right.
I'm just picturing authors sitting there eating alphabet soup.
They're like, ooh,
that's a good name.
Edentog.
What's that?
He can go with Elad and Egad. And you're like, what? Anyways, So let's get into some news.
Oh, okay.
Because I think I'm ready. That conversation was dead.
How's your beard?
Yeah, Scott, you doing all right? Do we need a beard break?
It's not itch anymore. I got it.
You were literally just scratching it on the microphone.
I hang out with my dog a lot.
It's clearly audible. All right. So first up in the news, last week we didn't report because we're not reporters. Last week we talked about HP ditching WebOS and selling off all their touchpads at a very cheap price at Best Buy.
$99.
$99, which if you got one, you're lucky. Don't buy them on Craigslist, by the way, for $250. You're an idiot if you do. And then feasibly ditching their computer unit. Apparently, shortly thereafter, they were like, whoa, maybe you misread our press release. What we meant to say was, we're no longer making hardware for WebOS, and we're not sure what we're doing with our computer division. HP is we talked about it. We were pretty sure that they were last week, but I checked it since they are the number one computer dealer in the world
by like orders of magnitude ahead of like a Dell.
They're way ahead of Dell, way ahead of Gateway. They're gigantic. I think they might actually even own Gateway at this point. I'm not positive. But so they're not killing off WebOS is what they're saying. They're saying that they're going to start licensing WebOS much like Android is licensed and Windows is licensed. They're going
to
figure out
what to do with it.
They're going to go that route as opposed to the Apple route of making an iPad with an iOS.
Forgive me for being ignorant, but what is WebOS?
WebOS was on the Pre, the phone called the Pre, and then HP put it out on this touchpad.
It was like Palm's.
It was Palm's.
Palm's updated operating system. Like Palm used to be pretty cool back in the
game.
Day.
They were the ones.
Yeah, they made. Didn't they start with like Palm Pilots, like PDAs?
They were the first one to have like an integrated PDA in your phone. They were like the first ones to really put out big power phones.
The phone had like a stylus that you could pull out of the back and like tap the screen when the screens like weren't capacitive like they are now.
Okay.
And it was just like PDA in a phone, and it worked, and it was cool. And then they sort of came out with a new UI for the OS, and they called it WebOS.
Okay.
And it's pretty slick. It's cool looking. Works well.
What's on the tablet they just released?
Yeah. So HP ended up acquiring Palm, and you know, by that they acquired the rights to WebOS, and they made a tablet with that called the HP Touchpad, I think is what it's called, or HP Tablet.
Touchpad.
Yeah. And that had WebOS on it. And then
the hardware was kind of lacking. I mean, for $100, it's definitely worth it. For $300 or $400, which it was originally priced at, is a little overpriced.
The hardware was out for like a couple of months, and then they just folded, and they're like, "Yeah, we're done with this." So that's what's happening. And now they're talking about selling the.
This is the thing though, is that they're not now they're saying, "Whoa, we're not necessarily selling our computer division. We're not canceling WebOS. We're just not making hardware anymore." Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, honestly, I feel like that's kind of floundering. I don't feel like they have the developer support that they need anyways to keep that OS moving forward in a valued way. You know, I mean, Android,
sure,
iPhone, and even to an extent Windows. Although Windows supposedly came swooping in and was like, "Hey, are you burned by the touchpad experience? We'll give you free developer accounts. You can start making stuff for us right now."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think part of it is probably because, you know, I would assume that at this point in the life cycle, like the margins on computer products are.
Yeah, like, but that's fast, man. They made the touchpad and then pulled it within months.
Manny Pacquiao didn't do a good job of advertising for it?
No, he didn't. He kept holding that thing up and no one cared.
That may have had something to do with the like the shareholders and less with like the people that were.
Do you think HP is just too big, too bloated, and too outdated to really keep up with this
stuff? Well, I mean, like, look at a company like IBM is still, you know, viable, but they just make their money in the corporate space.
That's what I was going to say. IBM focused real quickly. IBM started to get, tried to do stuff, and then I think they were like, we're good over here. I mean, they've got Lenovo, right?
That's their Well, I mean, like, they got rid of their PC division and sold it to Lenovo, and so now Lenovo makes the ThinkPads, and those are still quality products.
Yeah.
So maybe HP is taking the same approach. They're just like, we're going to focus on enterprise and services,
possibly,
and then just move on with life and let someone else make computers.
Yeah,
because I mean, it might not be. I mean, you make a profit on it, but probably the profit margin is not as high,
right?
On like say a laptop or a desktop.
It's interesting to me though. This will be the theme of the show. Rub your chin on the microphone. It's interesting to me that when they released the original press release, they basically admitted defeat to the iPad. They basically were like, "Yeah, the iPad owns 90% of the market. There's nothing we can do about it." But at the same time,
that's a good American attitude right there.
Well, they
let's just give up because we can't do well.
They admitted defeat to it, and they said they basically were hinting at the fact that they thought Apple did it right, which was an integrated OS and hardware experience that makes sense.
Right.
And then they go, whoa. We're not getting rid of WebOS. Now we're just going to license it to other hardware developers. And in my head, I'm like, that is exactly the opposite of what your PR said ahead of time, which was, hey, the way to go is what Apple did. So we're going to do the thing that Apple did not do over here.
Right.
Instead of dumping some money into making this thing better, we're going to just give up entirely.
At some point, you're probably just doing some damage control to make people feel better. But
yeah. Well, I'm sure there was some WebOS. I'm sure there were some people making programs like right now for WebOS who were like, typing code, what? You know, like, where did it go?
Delete.
Like, I already bought a license to do this shit, man. So, I don't know. Anyways, I think this is more of a personal note for Scott, this next piece.
It's funny. What I wanted to talk about was the fact that the Samsung Galaxy S2 is supposed to be coming out within the next month.
Yes.
A lot of people are excited about it because
And Samsung puts their Galaxy line out to all phone servicers.
Yep. But Verizon, and this is pretty much consistent across the board, Verizon does not sort of like toe the line of the mainstream phone device makers, you know? So like everything like on Verizon is like, it's a Droid. And they're like, oh, Samsung, that's a Droid too. And you're like, we got it. You have the Droid name.
Yeah.
That's awesome and everything. But like there are other phones out there. You know, they don't have, I think they're the only carrier without a Nexus phone. They don't have.
No. Does AT&T have a Nexus phone? I don't think AT&T does. So.
Oh, really?
Just Sprint and T-Mobile.
But you know, no Nexus phone. They don't. And then now they're saying they're not going to get this phone, but supposedly they're going to make a similar phone with other hardware. But like,
it'll be the Super Droid.
Yeah, they're going to call it like Super Droid or something, and then
Droid X2.
But somebody, I can't remember where I saw this, but it was on another blog, like probably like Giz or Engadget or something like that, where somebody brought up the same point about the fact that it's like, hey, Verizon, what are you doing? Like, people know about these phones now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like this, like the smartphone market, the consumers are sort of like clued into what's going on.
They are smart.
Yeah, they're smart. And they hear about the phones that are coming out. Like they know there's a Nexus Prime.
Yeah.
They know there's a Galaxy 2. Yeah. And then Verizon's just like, no, we're not doing that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the weirder thing is that they have the Galaxy S1, the first one, because Melissa has it.
But wasn't the problem with that one is that they kind of binged it all up and they put a bunch of crapware on it?
Well, they do that with every phone they have. I have the Droid X, which has a Madden football demo
that I
cannot delete. I'm not allowed to remove it off my phone.
Right.
It's got like three other programs I don't care about. It's got all the Verizon wear that I don't give two shits about. They're like, Verizon Maps, $18.99 a month. And you're like,
yeah,
Google Maps is better and it's free. And they're like, yeah, but you should try ours because it's $18.99 a month. In fact, we'll just turn it on for you. Turn it off yourself. You're like, what? I'm not paying for this piece of shit. So they put out the Galaxy S and put Bing on it as the search engine.
So you can't have, it's not Google.
I have no idea. Integrated Bing.
Integrated search is not Google. I don't know. The Android device.
I've never gotten a straight answer as to whether that was Samsung or Verizon, though. I don't know who did that.
I think it's Verizon because I think that same phone, right, on another carrier would have...
It's on all the other carriers.
Would have Google, right?
I think with Google.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty happy with my Nexus.
Well, Verizon's response was, did you try the Droid Charge by Samsung?
Yeah.
that was literally, they were like, hey, look at this awesome brand new phone coming out. And they're like, yeah, we have another phone out right now. Try that.
Is that the same as the Nexus S?
No, not even close.
No.
And that's the thing. I think we talked about this last week, too. And it's that, like, just like the computer market used to be and kind of still is, but, like, you don't need to put your own UI on top of the existing UI anymore.
Anymore, yeah.
Like, Android is mature enough to the point where that's not necessary unless you're, again, one of these carriers that doesn't like to put out the updates. You know, like, I don't think there are any, like, 2.3 phones on Verizon right now unless you... Oh, is that 2.3?
Yeah, the updates got pushed to all those.
But, you know, like with your Nexus, you have vanilla Android. You have the experience that Google designed.
It's like I said, man, just go to Amazon Wireless, spend a penny on any phone that you feel like getting for the next year or two or whatever.
And then just wait.
Wait for Motorola to start putting out the Droid, their Droid phones that are going to be straight Android phones. Because Google bought Motorola, those phones are going to start coming out. And they're going to go to Verizon first.
I hope so.
Because Verizon's the only one with Motorola phones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know of any other. Oh no, the Motorola Atrix went to AT&T.
Mm-hmm. I thought Sprint had a.
Do they have a Motorola phone?
Isn't that
they have
Atrix, HTC? That Atrix is like a low end Android phone, though, is it not?
No, that Atrix is like the 1 gigahertz thing that you can plug into a laptop and keep using.
I heard that was pretty good.
Atrix is a slick phone. There, that's what the Bionic was. That never came.
Oh yeah, that. By the way,
that's the Atrix.
That Bionic is supposed to come out sometime in September as well. I mean, it's rumored.
That is the Atrix. That thing got so effed up on Verizon that it just never came
out. I mean, for the longest
Sprint
time,
Sprint has Motorola.
They do?
Yeah.
I'm totally wrong.
For the longest time, Verizon did have, like, they still do. Verizon does have a sign up page for, like, you put your email in if you're interested.
For the Bionic, yeah. Yeah, the Bionic. Then the issue there was that I'm pretty sure was the LTE. They couldn't get the LTE to work in the phone, so they just yanked it and never put the phone out.
So yeah, so the problem is this. It's like, yeah, you know, you have the biggest network and we get that and your speeds are super fast, but you don't have the hardware.
I don't think their speeds, AT&T's been proven to be faster.
Oh, really?
It's just that Verizon's more solid. Like you just don't you don't lose connection, which I would agree. Like I do not lose connection on Verizon. So
that's my beef.
Yeah. Sucks, buddy.
So put some better hardware out or else I'm going to whatever has the Nexus Prime. I don't care. I'll just cut the line and go somewhere
else. I believe
you.
Yep. I believe you.
It's the Photon.
What is
the Motorola?
That's a really low end one, though. I think, isn't it?
$200, 4G. I think it's new.
Maybe that's a new one. Then I don't know. I mean, they had a couple on T-Mobile, but they were all really shitty. Like all their Droid, like their big line phones, were all on Verizon. It was until the Atrix came out, and that was AT&T. But that was supposed to come out at the same time as the Bionic, and then it never did. So anyways, telling you, dude, penny phones. That's what this was. It's the happiest I've ever been with a phone.
For a penny?
Because I spent a fucking penny.
Like,
had you
paid $250, you just would have been like, meh.
I think if I paid $250, I'd be pissed about the built-in software. But
true.
That's it. I mean, otherwise, the phone's totally fine. So, I don't know. Let's talk video games. That's what everybody wants to hear. Because
that's why you guys are here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the long-anticipated Deus Ex.
The long-anticipated... So anticipated that Scott hasn't touched it this week.
Well, I meant like...
kind of shocked by that.
For the masses, not necessarily
you
myself.
You are... I'm really disappointed because you're kind of our Deus Ex guy.
Yeah, and...
This is your thing. System Shock, Deus Ex.
Yeah, those like cyber thriller kind of games.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, yeah. I love them too. I never played System Shock. I played both Deus Exes, but I have not picked this one up yet.
I mean, like... That era of PC gaming, like Deus Ex was a beast, the original one, you know what I mean? And it was one of those games where like the stealth was like, as soon as you like got one pixel into frame, all the guys were like, there he is, kill him, you know? And like 20 guys rushed downstairs to beat you to death, you know?
Yeah.
Like the first Splinter Cell game.
Oh yeah. Brutal.
Brutal.
The first game was totally brutal. I'm not even sure I finished it back then, but Derek, you played a lot of the new one, or at least enough of it to rage quit. So tell us about the game. Tell us your impressions.
It's good.
Can you tell us a little bit more?
I can. It's actually a really good game. I do have some complaints, but for the most part, if you can mix Blade Runner and Mass Effect, that's the general feel that you get for the ambiance.
How is the gameplay, maybe in terms of the original or in terms of modern games that we have now?
To me, it feels a little clunky for the shooting portion of it, but I mean, it's not a straight up shooter. So
what is it supposed to be? Is it supposed to be like Splinter Cell or like Mass Effect? Or
I think it's more like Deus Ex,
like the original.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, again, like I said, that's...
You kind of miss out. Yeah, if I remember correctly, in the first one, you had, like, you could play, like, a talking/hacking character.
Yeah, you could focus on stealth.
The second one got really combat-heavy, didn't it?
The second one was weird.
Yeah.
It was kind of
wasn't
wonky.
It a different...
I like the second
I thought it was
one.
A different maker and everything. I thought they...
I think Ion Storm did the second one. Am I right about that?
I believe so. I believe.
This one seems to have... it feels more like maybe like the first Splinter Cell game.
Okay.
As far as like the stealth versus action balance.
Yeah.
But then you do have the hacking, which is still
that's
fun,
like
little mini game.
The hacking is a mini game now, right?
Yes.
Is what I
it
read.
It was Ion Storm.
Yep.
Sir.
So.
Oh, they were both. The first two were Ion Storm.
Oh, they were both Ion Storm. Were published by Eidos or no?
Yep. Yes. Both published by Eidos.
Okay.
So
I think the joke that I made, I don't think you were here for that, but the joke that we made about like the Eidos games is that like, it was like, oh, Hitman, that's the game, the stealth game where you walk around and killing people. And it's like, oh, well then what is Thief? And you're like, oh, Thief is like the stealth game, you know, where you walk around killing people. And you're like, oh, cool. What about Deus Ex? And you're like, well, that's like the stealth game where you walk around and kill people. So maybe like in terms of like those franchises, well,
you don't have to kill people.
You can, I mean, you can like sneak by or subdue them. I suppose.
Would you compare? I mean, is it skill tree? Is it how does it work? How do you build out your character? Like Fallout style skill tree stuff or no?
As you perform actions in world, which are like if you kill a guy, it's like 10 experience points.
Oh, really?
And then if you subdue him, it's 50.
Oh.
So it balances out how you play. And then if you hack into a system and you do it skillfully, I guess,
efficiently,
right, without them,
you get like
100 noticing.
Experience versus like 25. So I think, and I'm not positive on this, but I think every level that you get a praxis, which is an experience point to put into your augmentations that allow you to build out your character, is 5,000 experience.
In the original game, you had to find augmentation canisters that only contain one of two augmentations. Is it still like that?
No.
Oh, okay.
You get these praxis modules, which allow you to either buff some of your abilities or unlock new ones.
And then I think on top of that, there were maybe like 10 to 15 different skills that you then would spend experience on, like hacking, firearms, swimming, toxic resistance.
And that was like a la Fallout, I always felt like, right? I mean, kind of, they had the same systems to them.
Yeah, similar. This takes a lot of that out, and it's just your augmentations.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool.
So,
aren't there weapon mods in this one now?
There are.
The first one had weapon mods too, but they're like just drag and drop.
Some of them, it's kind of, they have two different types. There's a set of three that you can put on the weapon that's like a silencer. I have a really cool armor piercing mod for my pistol. And then laser sight. And then the laser sight and silencer fit on most of the weapons, and then the other ones have like a special add-on.
Okay.
And then as you work through the game, you can find damage upgrades and ammo capacity upgrades, things like that.
So tell us why you rage quit.
Yeah, what happened here?
Yeah, what happened?
What happened?
Well, I got to the second boss, which is the big complaint that I have with the game, that there's even bosses in it, because I was playing...
Like literal bosses? Like literal, like Gears, kind of like all of a sudden there's a big dude that you have to defeat before you can move on boss fight?
Correct.
Huh.
I wouldn't really
expect that in Deus Ex.
Like in a stealth-based game, why would you have to then be forced into like face-to-face combat?
And you...
Oh, there's no like stealthing out of it or anything?
Nope.
It's like boss fight.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's unexpected.
Yep. And the first fight, I ended up muddling my way through because I figured out, you know, since I had a pretty good stealth ability and I could cloak and then I could run around and the guy wouldn't know where I was, but he has like a minigun for an arm. And I have like a pistol and I'm like, well, this doesn't really seem like it's good. But luckily, you know, with some of the other weapons like EMP grenades and regular grenades, I ended up taking him out after like learning his method of movement. But the second boss...
Does he have like repeated movement too?
No.
Oh.
But you learn like what he does.
Oh, okay, yeah. He just shifts.
Yeah.
20 pixels like, back and forth.
It's like Space Invaders.
You're just listing lazily to the left.
The second boss, however, you're fighting in a room that has water on the floor.
Yeah.
And she does some attack that completely electrifies the entire floor. And unless you take a specific augmentation, you can't survive.
The goulashes augmentation?
Yes.
Rubber boots?
Yes.
But is that like, do you think that's, are you early enough in the game that that's on purpose to force you to try different stuff?
I think it's maybe 2/3 of the way through the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it seems fairly late.
How many hours have you, I mean, if you only had done this once, how many hours would that be?
Like 20-ish, maybe?
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, so. I've read that, like, that's pretty, you're pretty on target there with the 2/3.
So wow, so, because I could see them maybe early in the game doing that, you know, to like, hey, why don't you try a different augmentation that you wouldn't have taken otherwise, you know?
Yeah, so on my second playthrough now, I've been doing that before I actually use my points to upgrade any of the augmentations, I save it
Can you sandbag the points?
Can you sag?
Or is, because in the original Deus Ex, I think you had to go to a medical station in order to use the upgrade mods, like use the canisters.
Oh, you can use them whenever.
So, I mean, in theory, you could get into a boss fight and go, okay, I'm going to, like, if I have an extra point left over.
Well, here's another issue. A lot of times I would have 1 point, but it mm-hmm. takes 2 to activate something.
Oh.
And this was something that I had to, it's only a 1 point
maybe mod. Maybe it's fucked up.
It's very possible. But it got to the point where I didn't have an extra praxis point right. to put into it so right. that I could do it before the battle.
And that's sort of like the harshness that I was talking about with like these yeah. old school PC games, is that like you could get punished for playing the wrong way and never finish the game. And I feel like games now are a little more forgiving.
I mean, the thing I haven't heard you talk about at all, though, and I feel like Deus Ex has some of this, is story. I mean, does it feel like you're playing a world, or does it just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
The first game was like a war. You said Blade Runner,
so I'm assuming...
I don't really want to say much about the story because it's one of those things, and like, I mean,
right.
the Illuminati involved because it's Deus Ex.
Right. Well, I mean, you don't have to say what the story is. I'm just saying that, like, do you feel like that they definitely created the world that needs... Because Deus Ex is... I mean, that was part of the fun of 1 and 2 is
yeah. Oh, yeah.
stuff going on.
Yeah, techno thriller.
As you're walking around, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can interact with. There's newspapers that have no bearing on anything other than like what's happening
story
in the world.
Oh, so, that's cool. That's cool.
That's a nice touch. And
yeah.
I mean, I don't really read every one of them, but sometimes you'll pick it up and be like, hey, that's what I just did in game. And it's like this big event just happened. And if you go through it, and I've noticed it between the two playthroughs, because I've done things better the second time, knowing what I need to do, it does actually vary from what you do or how you accomplish it. So,
and while you did rage quit and restart, you would have played this twice anyways, wouldn't you?
Yes, I'll probably play, because I would really...
You'll beat it a third time?
There's a system that I have yet to use.
Yeah.
And that's just because I'm playing on the hardest difficulty. And stealth seems to be working better for me as far as staying out of trouble. So it's called a typhoon. And basically you shoot ball bearings out of your body.
Oh,
that's all right. Awesome.
And apparently when you upgrade it all the way, you can kill robots very easily.
Oh, wow. Is it like a defensive shoot ball bearing? Yeah. It's cool.
Sounds awesome.
All right. So recommended?
Yes.
Worth the day of, well, it's not day of anymore, but worth the first week kind of purchase.
Yes.
Get into it.
Yes. That's but good. I mean, it's kind of in the vein of the game that I like.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I was thinking about it earlier. One of the reasons why I liked Crysis 2 and Crysis so much is it's kind of like a Deus Ex thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Don't mind them. They're gonna get gay together. I'll cut that out. Scott. You actually introduced me to a show on ABC called Wipeout.
Oh yeah, this is like I wouldn't call it a guilty pleasure because I don't mind talking about it, but it's
I have actually added it to my Hulu queue and watch it now on regular occasion.
It's fun. It's mindless fun. You know, it's like I'm sure a lot of our listeners have seen Wipeout, but it's like it's just an obstacle course that people get sent through with the intention of them, like.
By the way, I just saw a dude running the course. You know how they have the surprise pop out walls. Who like took it like a man, like didn't get knocked off.
Like he took it in the face and
he was
just like
boom, and it hit him, and he like just backed up a little and then went around it and then kept running. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, they just use like they use trickery, and like you'll be running at an obstacle and like a ball will be coming
from
this side.
Melissa and I made a point. Why don't you look down and see if there's mud on the ground while you're running? Because if there is mud there, they probably got knocked into the mud just 2 seconds ago.
I don't know how they do this and get people hyped up to do this, but it's just hilarious. And
anyways, there's a Kinect game out.
Yeah,
for
so
it.
They made a Kinect game for the show, and there was the game existed on the Wii ahead of time. So I was like, I'm gonna get this game, and there was like a buy one get one sale for Kinect games.
Is this
so
a disc or did download?
This is a disc. Yeah.
Oh, you purchased this game?
No, I got it for free.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
sorry.
It was buy one get one free. This was the free one. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So
I was like, you went out and bought the disc for this thing?
He likes it that much.
I love that show, dude. I just thought it'd be fun to play, and if people came over, it'd be something funny to do. But it's a lot like Doritos Crash Course.
I was gonna say
the Kinect.
Is it just like Kinect Adventures mixed with Crash Course?
Yeah, it is, and that's kind of bizarre.
Do you track star run on it?
Yeah, you can just run in place.
Really?
Yeah, like when it's time to go through the course, you run in place. If there's something to balance on, you stick your arms out to balance. Like if you want to stop suddenly, you have to do the cartoon, like put your arms out and stop. You know, like that kind of thing.
Wow, so fun.
Yeah, it's fun. The only thing that's weird is that the like not to get into the graphics, but the character models are a little bizarre. Like,
it's not your avatar?
You can use your avatar, but the character models for like the hosts of the show are like as if they just made Xbox avatars and then put those in the game. And it's like, yeah, I get what you're trying to do. Like, our avatars are in the game, so the host should be avatars too. But it's like they don't really look like them too much, which is weird. That's, you know, their voices in their game. They record the audio, and it's pretty funny.
So it is full on the ABC Wipeout show, then.
It is the show, but they add some extra stuff in the game. Like there's like gold like rings you can collect a la Sonic the Hedgehog. But those like those cut time off your score, so that's really the only reason why that stuff is there. But
wow. Is there integration, like, as far as, like, if I play Wipeout, can we compete or no?
Can we play online?
Maybe not at the same time, but is there even, like, Doritos, a la Doritos Crash Course, where, like, score competing and stuff?
Yes, it's, like, there's, even the achievements are the same, similar achievements from Doritos Crash Course. Yeah, it's, like.
Which I got on the other day and tried to beat your fucking scores.
Yeah, no way. Once you guys beat my scores, I went on one day and, like, rage, like, beat everyone. Like,
it's going to happen. One day I'm going to have free time, and I'm just going to beat the shit out of those scores.
I always find it when Scott says he rages over something, because he always seems so mellowed out.
Oh, yeah, it's like a zen thing, but, I'm not raging. I do, like, I'm pretty calm when I play.
I imagine you turn green and
it's 2 inches tall.
Oh man.
Somebody the other day asked me if I ever run out of short jokes for Scott, and I was like, I've known him so long that I just store them back here, and then I only release them at a very slow rate. So that I always have something ready to go.
It's like a tube of icing. You just squeeze them out, just little by little.
Sorry, dude. All right, anyways. So, fun for free. Would you buy it for $20? No.
Okay. Is that what it normally costs?
For the game, I think they sell it at full Kinect price for $50. Yeah, for $20, sure. For $25, yeah, maybe. For $30, you're pushing it. Like... If you're gonna have friends over, like, for $30, yeah.
Are you at this point reaching for Kinect games though?
Yeah, I mean,
are you just waiting for them to be like, please here, put well, something?
The
fucking
thing is,
out
this
that is
like,
worth it, other than Child of Eden.
This summer is pretty much the end of the first year of the Kinect season. So starting like this fall, you're gonna get like your Dance Central 2, Kinect Sports 2,
which is being demoed already right now.
Yeah, there's like a Your Shape 2 is coming out. So what I expect to see in these games are better support for the Kinect.
Yeah.
In terms of like tracking and voice commands and stuff like that.
I want to know why the Kinect doesn't turn the Xbox off.
Well, why would you ever turn the Xbox off? Why would they let you do that?
I go to bed at some point.
No, they want you to keep playing. You can never if you're standing up, they probably expect you just to push the button.
Oh.
You know, I mean,
I really like the voice command and everything for watching Netflix.
That's true.
So why can't I just be like Xbox off?
I think it's because they don't want you to turn it off.
Yeah.
Why doesn't it walk in the room just seeing
they're
that
wondering
I'm there
why you
turn
haven't
on?
Connected? Well, because that would be creepy.
Yes, very, very much so. I'm already creeped out by the fact that whenever I'm playing, there's little green lights on. It's like, hey, I'm up here.
Yeah. No, they probably realized that if you just walked into your living room and it was like, hi, Derek, you'd be like, oh my God, turn the Xbox off. Anyways.
Unplug it.
Well, cool. I'm glad you're getting some kind of use out of your Kinect.
Oh, no. I mean, I use it all the time. Like Fruit Ninja and stuff like that. But
They need real games, honestly. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
It's time for the fall season to start. So
I think what we had talked about early on is the only reason the Kinect is finding success is that it's so cheap. Not that it's so cheap, but it's so much cheaper than
buying a Wii.
Than Wii or Sony Move.
Well, the Sony Move is way overpriced.
Where you're buying tons of peripherals to play these different things, whereas Scott can get a free game and we could all come over and play it immediately because he bought one Kinect. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what's proving its worth right now is that they were smart enough to be like, we're going to sell you one thing that lets you play with as many people as you want to have play, you know.
You don't have to have four Wii remotes or four nunchucks or whatever.
Anyways. I bought Scott a gift a long time ago his birthday, I believe, right?
Yes, correct.
And it is another deck builder game called Nightfall. And I bought it for him because I had seen it reviewed and it looked pretty good. And it reminded me very heavily of a card game we used to play when we were growing up called Jihad, which eventually got turned into
Vampire
the Masquerade.
No, that... Was that
Vampire
the Eternal Struggle?
The Eternal Struggle.
The Masquerade is the paper,
pen and paper game. Yep. It's based off of a World of Darkness game, is what the old game we used to play is. And this game looked a lot like it. It's werewolves and vampires hunters. in a card game, but mm-hmm. built into a deck building system. So you only have to buy it once for $25 if you go online and look.
Which is awesome.
Versus spending hundreds of dollars on many different cards to play against each other.
Which we did.
We did back in the day.
Back in the day.
So we had Derek over today before the podcast. We pulled it out. We set it up. We started learning it. Derek whined the entire time we were reading the directions about how he doesn't play card games very often and he doesn't know what he's doing. And it kind of showed after we destroyed him twice in a row.
don't think that I whined once.
But yeah, so the system's pretty familiar. A kind of store of cards go out that you purchase cards from, much like we did in Resident Evil or Ascension, the other games that we've reviewed before on the show.
Yep.
You have your own little starter deck, which lets you purchase cards or make small attacks.
Which is shitty.
Do whatever. And they're shitty cards, so you want to kind of cycle those out and get your new ones. I will say the thing that's interesting about this game is the moment you use those shitty cards, they're gone. Whereas the old games, they stay in your hand, and you constantly try to get rid of them because they get so annoying.
But admittedly, this game moves much faster.
Much faster.
Than like a game like Ascension or
Resident
Evil.
I would venture
to
say it's brutal.
So
it is pretty brutal.
It is pretty brutal. The way the system works is you pull out minions from your hand in this chain system where you actually chain cards together by color coordination that's up in the top corner. And that chain can then be chained on by everybody else around the table. And then that chain plays itself out in reverse order. Which sounds weird, but just hang with me, in reverse order. And then any guys that you might have played would end up in your kind of minion pile. You can use them to fight against your other guys on your next turn, and then they go discarded. And it quickly moves you through your cards. The way you track health is they're called wound cards, or wound as we began calling them. There's only 10 per player in the game. So there was three of us, there was 30 cards. And as you deal damage a la magic style, kind of overflow of whatever you get over top of the minions that are in their hand, that does damage to the actual person. They take a wound card for every piece of damage. Once the wound cards run out, game's over, you count them up. Whoever's got the most loses, whoever's got the least wins.
I think this wrinkle, because we've played a couple of deck building games now, and I think the wrinkle that sets this game apart is the chaining system for, I guess you call it casting in other games or summoning. Or whatever, but
and that's what I wanted to skim over it so that we could get more in depth in that, because that is the mechanic.
Yeah, because like deck building games have a few things in common, and that's the fact that you try to improve your deck by making purchases from the board, and then you try to like basically thin out your deck to optimize it. So the things that they fix, or
did
like
I say the name of the board game?
A Nightfall.
Nightfall. I think I said the name.
Oh,
it's called Nightfall.
Yeah,
sorry. I just realized that. I'm like, I'm looking at the box right now, and I'm like, yeah, that game right there that no one else can see.
And I think the thing that moves this game so fast is, like you said, those shitty cards, once they're summoned, eventually get exiled, like pretty much on the next turn out of your deck.
Yeah.
So once you get your strategy set, you're pretty much off and running in a couple of turns.
So this, go ahead.
I feel like it was like once we got rid of our starter deck, or the starter hand, I guess, maybe we're doing like 6-7 turns after that.
Yeah,
it seemed like it.
That's maybe even high end.
I had kind of made the realization, we played it twice. I made the realization during the first playthrough. I was like, it was a very slow build at first. And I was like, oh man, this is going to be another deck builder. It takes a long time. And then all of a sudden, it just like, it goes from being like, oh, this is kind of a slow build to, holy shit, we've all taken a ton of damage already. And there's only like two cards left, you know, or two wound cards left, which means the game is basically over.
Admittedly, we did play with three people. I think in a larger game, the games would take much longer. When there's,
I don't
like,
know about much though. There's like 60 speeds up fast.
60 wounds on the board, and then everyone's taking a turn to chain, so the game might be a little longer.
Yeah, but think about 60 wounds on the board. So the way the chain works out, let's say Scott starts a chain. Every card has a color on the top of it that's its card color, which is either like red, green, yellow, white, or purple,
or blue. Six colors.
And then either side of that color will have another. Two other colors.
They call it the link color.
It's the link color. So you might have a white card with a blue and a yellow. That means you could link a blue or a yellow card to that card to build your chain. Mm-hmm. So let's say I build a chain, or Scott builds a chain of four cards. Well, then it moves around the board, and everybody one at a time gets to build onto that chain. So then Derek could hit, and he could put two more cards down that do something, whether it's damage another player or give him some more life or be able to cycle through cards or even just get guys out on the board.
Yep.
And then I would get it, and then it plays out in reverse. So the chain builds itself out, and you can actually do a little bit of gambling. Like, Scott could play a card that damages a minion, even if there's no minions on the board.
Yeah.
Because the chances are Derek might put a minion down, and Scott could kill him before anything even happens.
Right.
So basically, you build that chain out, and then it reverse orders back through the chain to make it to actually happen. The resolution.
The cards resolve like last in, first out.
First out. Yeah. And what I was going to say is that, yeah, you might have more damage cards because there's six of you, and the chains may take a little bit longer. But at the same time, when some of those chains happen, which happened a lot with us, where everybody's building off that chain.
It's a shitstorm.
Oh, my God. I mean, like, so much happens on that resolution phase. You'll do, like, 8, 9, 10, 12 damage will go out, you know? Like,
yeah.
It goes... I think that's what made it so fast, is that every turn, everybody's playing. You know what I mean? It's not like you just wait for the other two people to do their thing, and then you start. It's every turn, you're part of the game.
Yeah, I don't think it would be much longer if it was more players.
I guess damage would just go that much faster.
Yeah.
But
I hate to be the guy who gets like 59 points.
Everybody focuses.
But the thing that you brought up, and I think that's what another thing that makes this game a little bit different is that like each player is involved on every turn. So it's not like, I mean, there were some times in Ascension where somebody would draw their entire deck into their hand.
Yeah.
Through some like,
you somebody know, would
for through some kind of buffoonery. And then
Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, who's been on the podcast, is a deck hacker. But you know, you would spend like 10 minutes like sorting through your deck, and everybody else is like,
just waiting.
Yeah, just hurry up already, you know? So when this chain thing starts, it kind of like keeps everybody involved in the game. And I think that's something that chain system brings out in this game that makes it better than some of the other deck building games.
So I wanted to ask Derek, you admittedly have not played a lot of card games. You've played a lot of tabletop games. You've played a lot of tabletop games. You're a big 40K guy.
Yeah.
Well,
you used to.
You were a big 40K guy. You've played some D&D, things like that. So you played the Resident Evil game with us.
Yes.
That deck building game, which I think you had fun with.
I did.
We had a blast
with that. I don't know that I completely grasped that.
At the time, yeah.
At the time.
I think you'd get it better now. It.
This game was much easier to pick up.
I think admittedly the Resident Evil game was kind of rushed and less a little more poorly constructed than this game is.
Yeah, this game, we were talking about it while we were playing, that like the idea of sitting down and planning this game feels crazy, but then when you're learning it to play, you're like, oh, this is actually pretty simple. The system works itself out pretty
naturally. A couple things like for the listeners that we can mention is that by the second game we didn't have the rule book out anymore.
Yeah.
I think we referred to it one time
to figure out what to do. Went right through. But I was gonna say, or sorry, go ahead.
I think the other thing we didn't talk about was the draft system.
Right. Well, I just want to see. Want to get opinion-wise, having not been the card player before this, I mean, like you said, you picked it up pretty quickly. Did you have fun? Was it something? I mean, are you interested in these games at all after playing a couple of them or no?
I am. It's a matter for me of getting into the right
mindset,
frame of reference. Because like, I know you guys were having strategies. I'm still somewhat looking at the cards. I'm like, hey, this is a pretty color. I like this one.
Yeah.
Well, I like the picture, so I want that one. Mm-hmm. I can't wrap my head around the strategy yet, but I would like to try it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not one of those things where I'm just like, screw that.
I mean, and this isn't a knock on you. You did lose twice in a row, right?
Yeah, but
how? But so you lost twice, but still enjoyed, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like, you didn't walk away feeling
I've
like.
I've got to learn somehow.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you didn't walk away feeling like burned. Like,
no,
you're like, oh,
no.
Fuck this game.
Yeah.
I lost twice. It was horrible.
No, well, I mean, it's just one of those things, like, I've probably lost more 40K games than I've won. So
right, yeah.
You got to learn somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk, go ahead.
I think the randomness of it makes it a little bit harder.
That's the other thing we should say is that these games always have some kind of random element to them. Like every game I think we've played has that replayability due to just randomness.
Yeah.
This one, I think, has the most permutations I've ever seen in my life.
And I think, it comes
there's
from
27 different like piles of cards that can be out on the board, and there's only as many as players plus five
at a time. I think what was weird about like a game like Resident Evil is that game, I think, had like more than 30 piles, but then you would have like maybe 16 to 20 piles on the table, which became really like hard to manage.
It got really messy, I felt like.
Yeah. But another thing that's different about this game is that it has a draft system, which is something that is popular in Magic the Gathering. And in the draft format, what you would do is you would start with like three booster packs, and you would pick a card out of each pack and then pass the packs to the next person to your left at the table. So everybody would keep drawing cards out of these packs, and then you'd play Magic. But it's kind of similar in this game. I think what you're saying, there are 27 different.
There's something like 20. Yeah, I think I counted.
It's like
27
to, different types of cards in the game. And those cards are drafted into the game. And that's what's kind of cool. So
yeah.
At the beginning of the game, each player is dealt four cards that they can choose to pick from. And what you do is you end up picking two cards that become your personal stash of cards that only you can buy out of. And then
You pick one to go in the game.
Yeah, one card goes in the game, and then ultimately you supplement that center stash until there's 8 piles. So I think of the 27 piles in the game, at any given time, we only saw 14 cards on the table.
Yeah.
So we were only playing with half the deck. So depending on what was on the table, kind of dictated the types of combos that you can make in the chain.
And we should say, I think we realized that there's something like 9 cards that we never saw in 2 games. There was 9 or 10 that never appeared.
Yeah, and now they've released promos through the company website. There's actually an expansion that came out in July, which I think after playing this game, I feel like I want to get now.
Yeah, yeah.
And can I say something about the packaging real quick?
Sure.
This is so weird because this comes up a lot now in deck building games, and like we've played board games. We talked about Smallville and the way that those materials are packaged.
And then Space Alert, which those materials aren't packaged. Yes, essentially.
Like Space Alert. So like, I feel like this is now something that we need to talk about when we talk about board games, and that is how do the materials arrive, and then how do they go back into the box?
Yeah.
And what's really cool about Nightfall is that when you open up the box, it actually turns into like a 2-column card box.
Yeah.
And in this card box, they include divider cards that help you resort your cards after the game is over. And they include foam blocks so that the cards fit like snugly in the frames, but they can be removed as you add more cards.
Can I also say it's genius that the draft system is done with a separate set of cards that are just markers for the cards you're going to put into the game?
Yeah, they use
so you're not like mixing cards up and then trying to dig them back out of a pile. Like you're just like,
oh yeah,
you do the draft system and you just remove those cards. Yeah, play and put the ones in that you're going to play with.
They could just as easily have said like take one of each type of card and then do a draft with those. But there's a separate draft deck, which dictates the start of the game. You put those cards away and play with the actual piles. The other thing I'll say is that the construction of the cards are sturdy.
Yeah,
unlike
definitely.
Resident Evil, it's kind of like on par with like Ascension.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like Thunderstone cards have like that nice kind of...
I think it's the same company as Thunderstone.
Is it an Ultra?
AEG.
Are the cards are Ultra, aren't they?
The cards? I don't know who makes the cards.
That's the sleeves.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that's really cool about the box is that you can sleeve the cards and they still fit in the box. And again, this is something with Resident Evil that you could not do. And I don't think it would work with Ascension either, the way that that box is put together.
The internet would like me to know that Thunderstone is a band.
Oh, also excellent.
It's cool.
They're probably more popular than
AEG. It's the same makers as Thunderstone. And I think, is that Ascension too then?
I think Ascension is someone else.
I don't know. Anyways, so I think overall we had a blast. We had a lot of fun. I would say Scott and I, and then Ash sometimes as a site, like to push card games and board games. Ash is definitely in on the tabletop games as far as D&D and all that go. We are so pro that stuff. It's just like get in a room with your friends and have fun. What a crazy idea to not, you know, sit on a video game machine all the time. Video game machine, I am 90.
Yeah. Fancy video game machines with picture boxes.
What the hell just came out of my mouth?
It's going to rot your mind.
Oh, man. But yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And a cool little theme, you know, I mean, whatever, vampires and werewolves. And not that it played too heavily into the game.
No, we just kind of played. But it's the art is cool.
Art's cool.
Flavor. I don't think there was flavor text on these cards.
There was. We didn't really read it.
Next time.
And we have a feeling that the colors and then the type of gameplay
are related.
Seem to get related, but not in a very obvious way. Not in a magic way.
Right.
It's not like blue is going to fuck with other people cards or something. But they seemed that the colors coordinated in a way
that made
sense together.
Yeah. Yep.
So when you could link a yellow to a green, it made sense that the yellow and the green would be able to link. Like they seemed to play together.
Yeah. But I noticed that there were a lot of the silver cards had blue and as one of their linking colors.
I wouldn't be surprised if blue was the deck hacking color.
I mean, it might be.
Yeah, I'm
just saying that it didn't feel as obvious as Magic, where you take one look at it and you're like, oh, black is death. Red is, you know, tons of guys.
Trolls
and
goblins
of
fire. Yeah.
Like it wasn't that obvious. It just was like, they made the colors seem to make sense as you were picking and playing them.
So I think it's a definite buy.
Yeah, fun as hell. And we, you know, not that we don't have sponsors, so it really doesn't matter, but there's a store locally, ironically, here called Cool Stuff Games, and they have an internet shop that is very cheap, and I can recommend heavily.
Mm-hmm.
We loved it. We go there all the time, get their games. So
cool.
Nightfall, check it out. It's on Amazon. It's on Cool Stuff. If you can check it out. You can get some reviews on BoardGameGeek.
Or support your local comic shop or game store.
Yeah.
That's the other thing you could do, too.
I've seen it in... I know Coliseum, where I get comics, has it. So it's definitely out in there, too. But check it out.
Yep.
A lot of fun. So I think... And like we said, we have like kind of all levels of card game players here, and we all loved it.
I had a good time.
I'm not making fun of you.
I don't know what I'm doing.
You were fine. You played well.
Let's go to the Twitter wall.
Let's go to our Twitter wall. So we had a unique week. Ash left for PAX, and we hadn't really talked about Open Thread or anything of that sort, so we weren't sure what we were going to talk about. So I sent one question out into the internet early on in the week, got some replies. We're going to go over those really quick, and I'm going to ask you what your guys' responses would be. And then the new question is for our Open Thread, which is going to be a relatively brief one this time. Which our Open Thread is about a CNN article that was talking about whether people actually finish video games or not, and essentially they don't. So we asked the question about that, too. Let's start off with the first one. The first one was the classic kind of desert island question. The twist to this one was, assuming that you had the setup to do whatever you... to go along with whatever it is that you choose, you could choose one video game, one movie, one full run of comics, and one full run of TV. So if you were to say The Cosby Show, you don't get an episode of The Cosby Show. You would get the entire run of The Cosby Show. So anything along those lines. But what I'm saying about having the setup, it means that if you choose Mass Effect, you have a 360 and a TV. Obviously, you don't just have the game and not be able to play it.
Right.
That would be ridiculous.
Trick question.
Let me zoom back on our Twitter wall here. Let me zoom back in time in the Twitter wall. The first response came from our friend Justin, Midtown583. His game, and I like this one, Chrono Trigger.
That's a good one.
His movie, Back to the Future. His comic book run is a Grant Morrison title called All-Star Superman. And his TV show is Eureka.
Now, does he get all three Back to the Future movies or just
no,
the one?
The movie you don't get all the trilogy. You just get the movie.
Fair enough.
So maybe he misunderstood that, but I don't care. He's stuck now with Back to the Future. Ha ha! although I feel like Back to the Future is kind of standalone enough.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
As opposed to maybe a Star Wars. But speaking of Star Wars, our friend who I can't promote enough over at, it's called Ashcan Press. He's doing his own comic books. They're awesome. Check him out. Our friend Matt Rosenberg, who also runs a record label called Red Star or Red Leader Records, that put out a friend of ours, Nakatomi Plaza, said Star Wars for his movie. So I guess that has to be New Hope, right?
Maybe. No way, Phantom Menace.
He gets Phantom Menace. He has to deal with it.
What was the last one?
What?
What was the last one? I can't remember.
Last movie?
Yeah.
Ever in Star Wars?
No, Episode 3.
Oh,
I erased them from my mind.
Come on, Scott.
Now you just made me blank on what the movie was.
Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah, when you just put me on the spot.
Is that Revenge of the Sith? Third one?
I think it was, yeah.
I thought it was the second one. What's the second one?
Attack of the Clones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Zelda Wind Waker. Powers is his comic, which is a phenomenal comic. Brian Michael Bendis, I think. And then The Twilight Zone, which take note because that shows up a lot. Twilight Zone on TV.
Huh. Wow.
There's a lot of them, though.
I was really surprised that, like, if you could pick any Zelda game, that it would be the Wind Waker. And not...
That's on...
The Ocarina of Time?
That was on GameCube?
Yeah, that was the cel-shaded one with the, you know, the boats and stuff. That's kind of surprising.
Did I guess the system right? GameCube? Wow.
Yeah, that's on GameCube.
I'm proud of me because I am not a Nintendo kid. I don't know how I pulled that out of my ass.
Not a lot of people picked that one.
Well, he did.
That's cool. I support that.
You support that?
Yeah, sure.
Our friend Dr. Gar said Civ 5 for sure.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which doesn't surprise anyone at this table that knows him.
That's a good one because that's a good time killer.
Oh, God, yeah. And then he said the rest are take it or leave it, which, you know, do you have to shit on my question, Dr. Gar, really? But anyways, he said, I guess Sons of Anarchy and Snatch, and I have never read a comic.
Womp womp.
So Sons of Anarchy is a little surprising. I don't know that I could watch that show
endlessly. I'm not a fan of that.
Eric, whose name is Eric Erickson, said Oblivion, which if there is a game you could sink some time into, Oblivion would be it.
One day I'll tell my story of my 100%ing Oblivion.
Oh my God,
and why I'm not as excited as everyone else for Skyrim.
Jesus. Movie is Blade Runner. Comic is Concrete, which is an awesome comic. And then TV, Twilight Zone.
Wow.
Yeah, man. It's a long-running show, I guess. People pick it.
Tons of stuff.
At Erratic Thematic says, on a desert island, I'll take Mass Effect 1. I'm going to say on the PC because I don't want to burn that person with a fucking horrible
Mako experience. Yeah, it would definitely be on the PC.
Lord of the Rings Two Towers, Extended Edition.
Okay.
Uncanny X-Men, which is not a bad choice because I think that comic has been running for something like 30 years now. So 30 years of comics to read is quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then Doctor Who, which is a long-ass TV show along with it.
That would be a favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Doctor Who's there. Our friend Alex said, is it a stupid reply to say Lost is obvious? And I replied and said, both practical and entertaining.
I don't know that I'd want to watch Lost if I was stranded on a desert island.
If it turned out that you were dead.
Yeah.
Zooming through a couple more of these. That probably sounds really fun on your phones.
I'm enjoying it.
Was that it for those questions?
No, we got like two more. Kittler C, who was the, I think he replied with the Guitar Hero one before for that one, said, no answer from me this week. I'd probably kill myself with such limited entertainment options.
Oh, that's tough.
And
that was it, right?
I would take up coconut carving. A lot of these are
finished ones. And yeah, I think that might actually. No, wait, one more. Desert island, natural. I don't know why people name themselves weird things sometimes. Natural Gina 88, I think. Maybe. said Lego Pirates for their game.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that like the new one?
Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. Movie is Nightmare Before Christmas. Doesn't read comics. People, seriously.
Sorry, man.
How much time do I have to spend repping comics to get people into it?
That's why you're here.
And then the TV show is Red Dwarf, which I used to watch when I was growing up. I don't know that I could watch it endlessly, but
you know, I used to enjoy that show greatly, and I think somewhere around season 8,
yeah,
I just got sick of it. Much to Aaron's delight.
So
then I stopped making her watch it.
Desert island.
I have no idea.
You got to.
You gotta,
sorry,
come up with
you're
something.
On the spot. Pull
spitballing.
It up.
Go for it.
Well, for TV, I've got a top two.
You have to pick
gotta
one.
I go with one. I can't. Man. I'm sorry.
Doctor Who. Then
Doctor Who.
Nice.
What was your number two?
Eureka.
Oh wow. Okay. And those are both recent for you too, right? Well, Eureka, you've been watching for a few
Eureka
years.
Eureka, I've been watching since the start.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doctor Who's recent.
Yeah.
Since Chris Eccleston, the ninth Doctor.
Uh huh.
But
a lot of show, though.
I figure if I'm yeah, stuck on a desert island, I've got plenty of time to watch all of the other ones.
Movie? Game? Come on, man.
You know, I'm drawing a blank on games and everything that I enjoy right now.
All I can think of is what I hate. All right, think. Scott. I already came up with mine, so.
Okay.
Because you knew the question beforehand.
Yeah, I did.
Here we go. It's a single movie, not a series, right?
Correct.
So the movie is going to be The Goonies.
The Goonies.
Let's see. The Game. What was the other ones?
Game, Full Run TV, Full Run Comic.
Full Run Comic. Not reading a lot of comics. I would like to read an X-Men comic. So I'll pick The Uncanny.
Okay.
If there's 30 years of it, I'll have something to do.
I do know my comic.
What's your comic?
Powers.
Powers.
Yeah.
Powers is phenomenal. It's a really good comic.
TV show?
Yeah, Full Run.
Battlestar Galactica.
Ah.
Get the fuck out. That show is awesome.
I was really hoping you were going to say Full House.
So even though you'll know the ending, though, you can watch that on
repeat?
Oh,
dude, I don't care.
You could?
I enjoyed
Do you really
that
know
too.
The ending, though?
No.
Well, you know what I mean.
You don't. And a game? That's
a tough one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with...
Movies are tough, too.
No One Lives Forever 2.
No one.
It's the spy, the Sierra spy spoof game from the 2000s, 90s, something like that.
So my are you ready with answers?
I think maybe for a movie, I would go with Aliens.
Okay. The first one from what's his name?
James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still working on game.
Okay. So my movie was Ghostbusters, number one.
Nice.
My TV show was Seinfeld. because I do watch that endlessly and could continue to watch that.
And you
got to
laugh if you're on a desert island, right?
That was what I was thinking. I was like, I'm not going to want to get buried in, you know, heavy TV or movie. Like, I'm going to want something lighthearted and fun.
Keep your mood up.
Yeah. So it was Ghostbusters, Seinfeld. My full run of comics, I think I chose Detective Comics, which is Batman's line that started out in the early, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then my game was harder. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it for a while, and
the games, is it like a whole series or just one?
No, you just get
a game,
one.
Just like the movie, you get one. The game, I believe my decision ended up being the first Metal Gear.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
Wow.
Because I played that a lot. I played that 5 times in a row and probably could play it more if
I wanted
to.
You wouldn't
to
get
right
sick
now.
Of that on the island. Do you find your game yet?
No. Still searching.
Just pick something.
I will say Melissa answered this as well. My wife answered this as well. She said her TV show was all of my days, all of my life. The
is it a soap opera?
Soap opera. I was like,
is it
really?
all my children? Days of our lives?
Maybe it was Days of Our Lives. Okay. It was one of those two.
Right.
I don't remember which one. I just minced
you put
both
two
together.
Yeah.
Yep. Her movie was Mary Poppins.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is not surprising.
Yeah.
Her comic was, I think, X-Men, and which is interesting to me. A lot of people want X-Men. I think just because it's so huge.
So long.
Yeah. Prolific. Catalog.
Yep.
And then her game was Solitaire.
Wow.
That's perfect.
And I was actually like, that's not the worst choice in the world. No. You could play that pretty much forever.
No. Yep.
She backed Solitaire with Tetris. That was her number two on games.
What about Columns?
Fuck Columns, man. Sega doesn't need anything.
Pokemon. PPL, man, all the way.
So anyways, you got an answer. We got to move into our discussion.
Just what's the first
Mass
thing
Effect
that comes
two.
To your mind? There you go.
There you go. There you go. I think the only reason I couldn't play Mass Effect 2 over and over again is if I had not yet played Mass Effect 3.
Well, like, that's what I wanted to say.
I'd be super pissed off, like, every time I got to the end of it. I'd be like, what happens?
Well, it's the same. I feel the same way, because I was going to say Gears of War 2 because of Horde mode.
But then if you had never played 3.
But I feel like...
Would you be able... Do you have access to multiplayer?
Hordes 2.0 would be... Yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
And there's that question, too.
I don't think you'd have internet, no.
I don't think I was given sufficient amount of time to think about this.
Told you about you. First of all, you have Twitter. It's not like,
but
it's
I don't
like
know
I
how to use it.
It's not like I didn't post this question.
I don't
somewhere.
Know how to use it. Remember?
All right.
Okay.
Anyways.
We had a second question this week.
So the second question was related to an article that came out. I think we talked about last week briefly in the news. An article that came out in CNN about how people don't finish games.
That's surprising to me.
Yes, to me as well.
Not to me so much. So I guess we all know what kind of players we all are. And the article kind of went into...
Well, being the ultimate completionist, it doesn't make sense to ever not finish anything.
Right.
And this is kind of logical if you think about the reasons why people might not finish video games. Those are the reasons that people cite in this article.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, like the gaming generation is getting older. They might not have time to finish the games. A lot of the games now have very significant multiplayer components. So people might play like a little bit of the campaign and then just spend the rest of the time playing multiplayer. It could have something to do with the length of games.
Mine has to do with fucking game designers putting something in their game that does not fucking belong in their game, and they do it for whatever stupid-ass reason. That is 99% of the time where the game breaks for me, and I just put it away, and I go, well, you shouldn't have done that, and I never finish it.
I feel like you have a specific example
in
mind.
I have multiple specific examples in mind. The first one is very recent to me, which was Red Faction Armageddon, when they put you on the back of the fucking tractor thing and then just throw waves of people at you, and then they go, hey, you know those two awesome mechanics where you can rebuild shit and then do this other thing? Yeah, we're going to basically take that away from you, so good luck just making it through a bullet game now. And I'm like, this is not a bullet game! This is not what this game's about!
Mm-hmm.
That breaks the game for me. I died probably 14 times there, and I was like, fuck it, and I put the game away and never played it again. And then the other one is, the only reason we finished it is because we co-opted it, would be Gears 2, when you're like, all of a sudden you're playing a running puzzle game through the fucking teeth of the monster in the stomach. And then like,
avoid the teeth. Roll through the, like, look out for the giant monster teeth.
Why? Why? When you've had 12 hours of fun gameplay up to that point, why do you then all of a sudden go, hey, now you're not going to use your gun in a game about using your gun,
and you're going to roll.
And you're going to roll through teeth of a monster that's going to be in the game for 5 minutes to elevate a story for 5 minutes.
The and best of controls
and,
for platforming.
Yeah, and then it's like it's now a platform game with second rate controls, and it's like, no, that's stupid. And if I actually made it through okay, he died a couple times, and then it was just like,
I was terrible at it.
I was just like, why are you doing this? Or like the tank mission.
I would also
you're in a slow ass tank. Oh, I'm driving.
Oh, and then the lights go off.
The lights go off. Like
it's suspenseful.
It is not
suspenseful.
When you co-op it, it's annoying.
And there was a stealth moment in the game too, and I was like, why are they doing this?
We
in
played
the
deleted scene where you had to like stealth past all the guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
this
yeah,
is
yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah. Thank God that got deleted because it's horrible.
That
shit is what makes me quit though. And those are just two recent examples, but there's been more. But that, like Mexico, I came super close from Red Dead to be like, fuck this game and not play it anymore because of Mexico. You just, why ruin something that's working so well in the middle of a game?
And this
kind of
ties
in. I can understand maybe the Rockstar point of view with everyone complaining about the length of games being too short. And then they're like, well, we'll make our game longer so people will like it more.
Well, see, that's the thing. This article kind of cites both sides of the story is that like you make a game too short and then people kind of perceive less value in a game like Homefront that had like a 5-hour campaign. And then, but then you make a game too long, like a Red Dead, and then you get to the middle of the game and you're like, come on, this is awful.
But my argument to that would be that Homefront just wasn't an interesting game. And then if you put a game like Splinter Cell Conviction up there, which was a short campaign, but was fun as hell the whole way through it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's quality. It has nothing to do with life.
Yeah, we did play that game in co-op, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But
well,
we also,
there's
I mean,
that co-op
we played
mode
the co-op
is
mode.
Really fun.
So maybe
Ash and I did that.
That's what added the value, I think, to that game.
Who got who?
Yeah, who killed who at the end?
I believe I got Ash.
Yeah, I got
I knew Matt was going to kill me. Matt is so much better at, like, Splinter Cell than I am. Like, I just ran
that
up.
That was my game.
Yeah.
For a long time.
He was hanging off like a ledge.
I literally was just sitting like this. And he's like talking. We couldn't talk anymore.
Yeah.
And I like, he like runs underneath me and doesn't see me. And then I just see him walking up super slow. And I was like, brink.
Total like spy versus spy, like punk out mode. But let's go. What do the Twitter people say about whether or not they finished games?
So, oh no, you didn't. Our friend on Twitter says, I usually finish them eventually. For some reason, I'm bad about... Oh, the question was, do you usually finish them? Do you have feelings on that? And what is a list of shame you've never finished game? Like, a game that you know you should have finished and you just never made it through it for whatever reason. So, for some reason, I'm bad about putting Assassin's Creed games down for a long time.
I think we've belabored this Assassin's Creed 1 point. But what about Assassin's Creed 2 or 3? Why would you not finish those games?
I mean, I'm not Odozu.
They do get a little grindy. They get a little grindy in the middle with all the quests.
Yeah, they do. I could see that. And I think some people just don't get into it, honestly. Even though 2 is a much better game, I think. There are some moments where you're like, okay, I get it. Do I really have to run across a rooftop to chase a guy down the, like,
yeah,
I don't really care anymore.
It's like the stupid messengers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hated those guys.
What else?
Kittler C., who answered our second question, but not our first, said Ratchet and Clank because he hated it. Beautiful Joe because it was too hard. Final Fantasy VIII.
Rage quit.
And Rock Revolution rage quit, which Rock Revolution, dude, I hope you got for $3 at Target and not for $80 when it came out.
Beautiful
Rock
Joe.
Revolution was that, was Konami?
Yeah, like a Rockstar clone, or a Rock Band clone?
It was a Rock Band clone from Konami or Capcom.
It was $80?
It was expensive when it first came out, and then it immediately slashed down to like $10.
Beautiful Joe was, if I'm not mistaken, a Capcom game, and traditionally Capcom games are very difficult.
Yes.
Well,
Beautiful Joe was hard. It was everybody compared it to Mega Man with the first one.
Oh, right. Ratchet and Clank, I don't know, that's kind of a platformer, so it's like either you just get tired of playing it and you're like, I've already done this.
Because Ratchet and Clank was really fun.
That's
all
a series I still enjoy.
Yeah.
But if you've...
Like, I've got the 2 for the PS3, I finally... That's a game that I have an issue with.
I played... What was there, 2 of them on PS2? Because I think I played both.
There was like 4.
You could have just been there, done that. You know what I mean?
It's platforms.
Yeah.
Ash hates platforms.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd probably not get three quarters of the way through.
Should say, I the games that I have issues playing with happen to be PS3 games.
Really?
Finished. Yeah. And a lot of it is I hate the controller.
Well, I'm gonna use this next one to leak into your story. Erratic Thematic, who answered the last one, also said, I almost always finish games. I wouldn't feel right selling/returning a game I haven't beaten then there's Oblivion.
I tend to agree with that first sentence about the selling and getting rid of games.
Well, because you treat games as like stock market items.
Well, I mean, as far as finishing, as far as buy finishing a game,
sell high. Sell high.
Yeah, yeah. But as far as actually finishing games go, like I'm kind of OCD in the sense where like I feel like I can't get rid of something until I beat it.
I do not have that issue.
Yeah, I wish I did.
So share with us.
Yeah, tell us, sir, about Oblivion.
What happened in Oblivion?
Well, hop on.
You 100%ed it.
That was a grinding mission right there.
Oblivion,
I did one playthrough, got all the achievements in one playthrough.
How long was that then? 99 plus hours?
Yes. And by the end, with the whatever the DLC pack was called,
I don't remember.
Shivering Isles or something like that.
Yeah, Shivering Isles, yeah.
Like, there's certain game, like you were talking about game mechanics.
Yeah.
Oblivion was the one that ruined me for shops. When it'd be like 2 a.m. and I need to repair my armor. I'm like, I don't want to wait. I want to do it now. Which was in New Vegas when they added the change to the one Venitron.
Yeah.
That was open 24 hours. I was like, thank you.
So do the shops are closed like at night and you have to wait till
it's like a Living World essentially. Right. And then with some of the missions, it's like, this guy is only here between these times. So like, if you're going to go kill him or whatever the mission is, you have to go between these times to do it. And it's only like Monday, Tuesday, and Friday that he'll be there.
Was it in real time? Like
game time.
It was in game time. Yeah.
So like,
but it's like,
it's the same
Fallout.
As Red Dead was like that, or Fallout's like that.
Yeah. So you could put that on the controller and wait like 2 hours for the right time to come up.
You can
again?
Actually,
sleep
if you, well, you wait.
Yeah.
It's not sleep because you can only sleep in a bed, but you can wait.
Of course. Yeah.
And waiting is essentially the same thing. It just causes time to pass.
Yeah.
But I think you can get attacked. Like if you don't find
while
like
you're waiting.
Yeah, like I don't think you can find a secure location.
Yeah.
I can't remember. That's awful. That was a game.
Oblivion was the game that I picked up and played through the entire the introduction, like, you know, learn how to be your guy thing, which was relatively long in itself.
Yes.
I got through that whole thing, and then I remembered there was a point where I was like on a mountain and they were like, all right.
Go.
And I was like,
oh, you come out of that cave.
I was
like,
all right, what? And they're like, go be part of the game.
You escape
like,
from the prison, right?
I don't,
yeah.
And I don't know what that means. Yeah. And then I couldn't find a mission for like a half an hour. And I just put it down and never picked it back up again. I don't understand what I'm doing.
I bought it for PC. And
that was me too. I was on PC.
There's a town where it's been cursed and everyone's invisible in it. I didn't know this until I played the 360 version.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking that I was something coming. My computer was getting a little old at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought it might have been some kind of driver issue. So I'm like, why are the enemies not appearing? And I just, I got fed up with it. And then finally, I think I found it for like maybe $10 with all the DLC.
Sure.
For the 360.
Yeah.
And I started playing it and I got to that point and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. That was like the first thing that I ran into on the PC version. So I thought there was some kind of weird glitch going on.
Was broken,
and I was just like, screw this game. So I uninstalled it and everything.
Oh, wow.
So Vigora answered, I always finish games unless they're borrowed and I don't have enough time. The only game I have never beaten is Final Fantasy VII.
Hashtag shamed.
I have never played.
I never beat it either.
Oh, no.
I got to, and I actually had Adam, our friend, who is like Final Fantasy VII guru.
Like, he's a JRPG master.
He must have played that game 14 times. I got to a part where you're like in a, it's like a casino almost, and you can bet on
the Chocobo
races
Island
and all
or
that
whatever.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I got to that and could not get out of it. Couldn't get off the island.
You
like,
got, you like got
something bugged out in the game to where I missed, something happened and I guess I fucked it up. I didn't do it right. And then it wouldn't rehappen. And since it wouldn't rehappen, the opening to get off the island never happened. So I was stuck on this island. I actually had Adam sit down at my save and
try to like.
And he was like, what did you do? I'm like, I don't know. I can't get off the freaking island.
You broke the quest.
And I broke it. I couldn't get out of the game. So I ended up never finishing it.
Did you ever play Xenogears?
I did not. I've seen people
Adam
play
has.
It.
I don't,
but yeah, I saw Adam play it.
That was a
did.
Game. That's one game that I never finished. And this just came from the depths of my memory, but it was another issue where there was something early on in the game that if you didn't pick it up, you couldn't beat it.
Wow, that's awful.
It's like in the
why would you do that?
In the first like hour of gameplay.
Why do you want to punish your consumer?
And,
your
fans? Like, here I am like 80 hours into it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't beat the end boss. And then
that's so sad.
Then I like, this is the beginning of the internet and everything.
Yeah, and you
for
go
like,
to the forums.
I'm going on the forums and it, And they're like, you have to make sure that you pick this up and had it with you the entire game. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Richard Buckle says, never finished any of the revived Tomb Raider games, to my shame, as they're all really great games.
Have you guys ever played Tomb Raider?
I never played the revived ones. No.
I have not played a single Tomb Raider game.
I may have played one
I played them. The first one, which was on PS1, right?
Those are kind of like a Prince of Persia kind of like... Adventure-y.
Well, the newer ones were more, yeah, but yes, they're all adventure-y. The first one was kind of not point and click, but it was more like mystery puzzle.
Oh, I thought they were more like you have adventure. To like acrobat your way through terrain and like figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but it's like, and then there's puzzles you have to unlock to get through the next part.
Like Prince of Persia style, like push the blocks and turn the levers and stuff like that. That's cool.
They were always fun. I don't know that I ever finished it either.
That's like something that it's always like if I ever had time, I'd want to play those.
The new one, you know, looks pretty good. We'll see.
They look always look
if
good.
If it uses more of like an Uncharted formula, then
that's what it looks like. Like they're going that way. Nelly plays. Really? Yes, I read that correctly. I believe Nelly. Off the top of my head, the only games I regret never finishing were BioShock and Red Dead Redemption.
I think it's okay that you don't finish BioShock.
I enjoyed that game.
I did too. But it's okay if you don't finish it. I think. I don't know.
Red Dead, I'm going to guess he stopped in Mexico.
Yeah.
If you make it through Mexico to the next part, it's not that much longer. So if he made it through Mexico and didn't finish the next part, that really sucks because you're close.
I would have enjoyed it if Mexico was shorter and then the end part was a little longer.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
Just balance that out a little more.
Agreed.
Red Dead, such a controversial ending, as if you listen to the podcast that's going...
We've talked many times about it.
We talked about it in depth. Justin, Midtown 583, says, I've never finished Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
That's kind of surprising.
It's a good ending, too.
I don't remember the ending right now.
Mm. I am not going to ruin it because it's a shocking ending, but it is a very good ending.
It upset me greatly.
I'm sure it did.
Oh, I remember it now.
There you go.
Thanks for jogging my memory.
It's good, though. I mean,
it upset me, too.
I really feel like, and I know this is the argument you were talking about before, I think Assassin's Creed figured out the formula after the first one a little better, how to mix the two worlds a little better.
Yeah, I will admit that there is something kind of boring, because in the first game, they really did try to make you do the stealth thing, where it's like, blend into this crowd, follow this guy, try to be silent, move in the shadows, and you're like, that's kind of fun, but like if I'm following guys around for 40 hours, that's really boring.
Yeah. Knox JD says, I played the MGS1 demo a long time ago when I was 8. Oh, jeez. You just made us all feel very old.
A long time ago. When did that come out?
When MGS1 was probably 96.
Was it even that?
I
thought it was like...
So, Matt, that's you, 96. Metal Gear. You're the Metal Gear guy here, I think. Right?
Didn't finish. I like it. And never got into the MGS series. Although... I'm relatively sure his icon is
Metal Gear.
Cartoon Metal Gear guy.
Fascinating.
I could see you not beat it. I mean, especially at the age of 8, I'd be shocked if you beat Metal Gear Solid by yourself, but it's worth it, man.
Still a good game.
I don't know why they haven't re-released. They did on the GameCube. I don't know why they haven't re-released that series.
Like a pack?
In high def.
High def 1 would be.
Yeah.
Amazing.
High def 1.
You know what?
Even 2 is fun. It just was hokey.
The problem that I had with 2 was the fact that you played for, like, it was like a 50-hour game or something like that, and you played like 20 hours of it.
Yeah.
The other 30 you watched
it.
And then 3 was phenomenal, and then 4 I have not played.
Is that Snake Eater?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I enjoyed 3.
So
4 was awesome, too.
I know. I haven't played it yet.
It was.
Which one is the one that you kind of like... I think you wind up in the woods or like outside, like outside on a mountain or something.
3.
I think that's
3 is the one where they first introduced the camo.
I think that's the last one that I played.
How did you play them? You never had a PS, or you had a PS2.
I think
you?
I played the first one on GameCube. I may have skipped the second
one.
Did.
I think I made you play the first one on GameCube.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. It was great.
It's a fun game.
Our long lost compatriot Ash tweeted at us. He said, "I never finished BioShock 2 because I wasn't having fun with it." And then he says, "P.S. I'm bringing you guys back those poopy PAX pants."
Excellent.
And
I can't wait.
I'm actually going to read his text message to all of us really quick while you comment on this, Scott.
Did any of you guys ever play BioShock 2?
I did.
Nope.
What did you think of that compared to the first one? I have it. I haven't started it.
I didn't like it as much as the first one.
Because it's just sitting in my Steam account.
I don't feel as powerful. Like, I don't know. The game mechanics are weird, and you're supposed to be like the prototype Big Daddy.
Yeah, I just don't know, like, how do you... I don't see how the story could be better. Like, how do you revive that sort of like 50s, like Ayn Rand, like power of the people kind of vibe? How do you do that? Do they do that at all? Where it's like the strength of the man rests in the, you know, in his people or whatever. All
I'm going to say probably not, since I don't really remember it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
So to expand on that, as we sat down to start our podcast today, all of our phones beeped at the same exact time. And we all look at it, and it's a text from Ash, and it says, "Report from PAX. Just saw an adult-sized pair of male underwear covered with poop in the bathroom stall." And that is all it said. And apparently he tweeted at us that he's bringing that home for us.
Be careful of that convention floor food when you're out there. Look out for PAX pox. Make sure you sanitize.
Seriously. So then Frozen Wookie says, "I usually only finish a game if I really enjoy it. I never finished Infamous before Infamous 2. Hanging head in shame.
I just finished Infamous 1, and that game is grindy too, in the same way that Assassin's Creed is.
It's a good game, but it's... there's some parts of it where it's just like,
help this guy, help that guy, run over here.
This is a job, not a game.
Yeah.
And then Thunder1321 is our last answer, says, "If I buy a video game myself, I usually feel obligated to finish it, but when I get it for free, never finished Crysis 2.
I tend to agree with that, and that's like kind of like the thing with
the perceived worth.
Yeah, emulators, you know, like you can have like... you know, everyone can generally get access to like the whole back catalog of NES games, like the emulator. But it's like, are you going to go through and play them all?
That's how I played them. I mean, I did, but I never had a Nintendo as a kid.
Right. But it's like, Sega kid. I do think there's something to be said for like opening a box and like looking through like the 2-page instruction manual now.
It's not much anymore.
And just kind of like...
I never look through those.
No.
So I mean,
I'm a fan of packaging. So
I feel like I think we've already gotten to the root of this, but both of you guys kind of are on the ship of... you buy a game, you'll finish a game.
Yeah, I think of it like a book.
Yeah.
Or a movie.
I do too, and that's why I'm so hyped up on story. Like, if I don't like the story, I'll probably stop.
So story will kill it for you.
Oh, yeah.
Do game mechanics kill it for you guys, or do you just muddle through it and finish?
I will force myself. Like, Fear?
Yeah.
It's a great game.
Fear 1?
Yes.
Fear 1 was good.
Great game, but the only thing that kept me going through it was the story.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
The game mechanic, I mean, for playing it in 2000...
I always felt like, what was the other game? What was it? Black? Was Black the shooter that was out at the same time?
That's that Xbox shooter.
Yeah. There was some shooter that was out at the same time as Fear, and I felt like if they had taken the shooter mechanics out of the other game and put it into Fear, that Fear would have been phenomenal. I can't remember what it was.
I think it's kind of funny, like now in 2011, where we have done away with health pickups and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not that big of a deal. But it really is a huge deal.
Yeah, yeah.
As I don't want to have to worry about that. Like, I'm perfectly fine with hiding in cover for a couple of seconds.
To get
my health back.
Because in theory, I think they just close that gap, because that's what you would do anyways. If you needed health, you would probably just try to run backwards until you found some.
Yeah. Right?
Otherwise, you would just die and start again. And it's like, well, why not just skip all that and let you regenerate the health?
So do you guys have a list of shame game that you picked up that you never finished and you know everyone talks about, like, oh my God, that's the game, like... you know, Mr. Here's the stupidest part of this entire discussion. 60,000 gamer points on the Xbox and what, 58, 57?
59 something.
59,000. You guys don't not finish. It's like ridiculous. I'm talking to the two people who have the highest gamer scores I know of. And there's no way. I feel like I'm the only one in the room who's like, yep, don't finish games all the time. How many gamer points do you have? 12,000.
For me, it's probably not what I haven't finished, but what I haven't started yet. Like, I have Uncharted 2 sitting at home, and I know that's like the game of the year.
It's a good game.
And I haven't, And why am I not playing it?
I've never looked at it like a book or a movie. It's interesting. I mean, I do, I treat them in the same like form of entertainment, you know, but I've never looked at it the same, because I don't feel like, I actually would agree though, because I've walked out of a movie. I've put a book down because it's fucking stupid and never finished it.
And I think what I would say to that is that I try to use...
Yeah, actually, I've done that with books.
Yeah.
Lately, I've tried to use more discrimination in what I actually decide to get.
Yeah.
Because for a while, I was just like, you know, Target had that clearance, like, end cap, and I was just like, whatever was on there, I'd be like, yep, I'm taking it, you know. And now I try to be more selective with what I play. And if for some reason I do stop playing something, I really do have to make a conscious effort just to be like, all right, you know what? This game is terrible.
Yeah.
And I need to stop. That's difficult for me to do.
So nothing on your list of shames?
I can't think of anything. I mean, I got myself through fear.
Yeah. See, for me, it's, we already went over one of them, Final Fantasy VII, but that was because of game breakage. Like, I couldn't even, I could not get past the end. And then the other.
But you would have finished it otherwise?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually enjoying the game. It was after, the thing is, I played it originally and hated it, and then I played Chrono Trigger, and then went back and played Final Fantasy VII and actually enjoyed it a little more.
You know what I do? I do have one.
What's that?
It's Super Mario RPG, Legend of the Seven Stars.
Really?
Yeah. I had it on Super Nintendo, and I think at the time, I think I got stuck at something that was, like, I found to be difficult. And for whatever reason, like, I just never finished it.
I'm pretty good at, I'll put a game down for a while. Like, it might be, I might put it down for like 3 or 4 months and then I'll pick it up and just like get past the part that I couldn't get past. I do that a lot.
The one,
like,
game,
Gears of War was that way for me. I got to
rail. I was just about to say, the one thing we were going to say that I talked about earlier was Gears of War. I never finished it because I got to a part that was super frustrating and it wasn't even like I put it down and was like, fuck the game. It just was so hard I couldn't get through it and then just never picked it back up.
But my first playthrough, I got to RAM and I was just like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I can't comprehend it.
I still don't know how you do it.
I put the game down.
Did you beat it?
Yeah, but I beat it on PC, but I still don't know how I beat that guy. Yeah. I was like, okay, sure, the game's over. Great. You know, like...
Oh, cool, and it just ended.
Yeah, he fell down, so I must have done something. Or that my teammate did. I don't know.
Was there a last boss in 2?
I don't remember. No, because it was that giant, like glowing monster dude that we just had to fire, like, rockets into.
Oh, right, yeah.
When you after you got
oh,
we said
done
we said that
Hammer
the,
of Dawn
we said the end of 2 was they were just like kind of giving it to you for playing through some of the stupid shit they were
oh
just
getting
like,
to ride the guy
they were like here's the what are they called broomax
yeah
they're like here's the broomax just whatever just destroy everything
like we're
in your
sorry
path.
For just everything else yeah. Have a good time
you're not gonna die
yeah,
just go
did.
Ahead
yeah.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up because we're at 2 hours but
cool.
But it's an interesting article. We'll link it up on the site if you didn't read it. I think I tweeted it out, so it's in the Twitter feed too. It's an interesting article on CNN, so check that out about people not finishing games that they start. I think, like always, we've learned nothing from our open thread, but the
Are
fact that you guys overplay games and I underplay them.
Well, we just like to talk about stuff. And I guess so. Next week we'll probably have a report from PAX, from Ash.
Next week we'll probably have we might have one this week if I can get the technical issues worked out. But otherwise, Ash will be back next week, but Derek may be on again. Who knows? He lives around the corner now. Are you out of town next weekend or no?
Yeah, I will be.
So not next week.
Well, thanks for being
after.
On. Thanks for playing Nightfall, too.
Thanks for being on. Thanks for playing Nightfall.
Good times.
Thanks, guys. I'll be back. Maybe.
So that's it. That's Radio NA 34. Thanks for listening, and cue the music.
See you next week.
Awesome.
Add some of your own.